I went into college doing like biology, physics, and something else, I can't remember. And then I remember just thinking, this is just stupid, and not because I couldn't concentrate in class.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone else in the class knew so much more than I did. No.
For many years, thousands of Nepalis have been moving overseas with the hopes of a better education, job, and lifestyle. Some find success in conventional fields, while some carve their own paths. Who is to say one is better than the other? Success is a journey, not a destination. So come on this journey with me, where we connect with our Nepali communities living overseas and explore their conventional and unconventional paths. My name is Sankalpa Gurung, and this is Hamro Yatra. Namaste and welcome to Hamro Yatra. Today we are joined by bridal makeup artist and a rising influencer, Chimi Gurung. Born in Kathmandu, Nepal, Chimi has always been into the arts from early on. She has taken this passion for creativity into the world of bridal makeup here in the UK. When COVID-19 lockdown started last year, Chimi's wedding makeup business took a big hit, but she has been able to turn the situation around and start building her brand online. It has been such a pleasure to witness her growth over this year and gain the momentum she truly deserves. In this episode, we go through the various challenges Chimi went through to start her bridal makeup business. We also deep dive into how she has been able to pivot during this year of uncertainty and come out of it stronger than ever. As always, if you enjoyed these conversations, please share with your friends and family. Remember to follow our Instagram page at hamro.yatra for updates, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and leave us a 5-star review if you're feeling generous. This really helps other listeners find our podcast. Thank you. Welcome to Hamro Yatra, Chimi. I'm so excited that you said yes to the interview, and I can't wait to hear more about your journey.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited because, you know, I get to talk about myself on them now.
And I'm here to listen.
Who doesn't love talking about themselves? But no, thank you so much for having me.
So we're going to start the interview with just a few random icebreakers. The first question being, if you could choose a superpower, what would you choose?
I've had a little think about this because I've been listening to your podcast. I have a little think. I think I would like to be able to time travel because I've in the past like couple of months I've been like reconnecting with like my relatives, Madumna, and I'm trying to like find out about, you know, like my ancestors and stuff, and it's really hard to get information about them. So I would love to like go back in time and actually find out when they were born and what their names are, you know, because no one remembers. Yeah, so I would love to like go back in time and like just like get to know them and stuff, and then go to the future and maybe like find out things. So yeah, probably time traveling.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I've been talking a lot with my mom and asking about like our ancestors, like Kunsini, grandparents, great grandparents, and the sad thing is they don't know their actual names.
Yes,
because everyone calls everyone by the relation, right? Like Bazi Bozu or Tuloba, Sanoba, Mailoba, and all that. So we don't actually know their names.
Yeah,
and so I want at one point create like a family tree and write down everyone's names, personality, like you remember, because we're going to lose all this information.
Exactly. But that's the thing. If you ask your, let's say even your baji, you ask your granddad, like, how many brothers did you have? He'll be able to tell you, oh, I had 4 brothers. But then what were their names? He can only tell you, oh, he was the eldest and the middle child, but there are no names and onsani. So yeah, it's a bit sad. Yeah. So we want to keep that alive, but at the same time, obviously it's a bit impossible.
Yeah, and like especially nowadays, like you can do like ancestry.com and stuff, but we have all this information. Like, you know, we don't need ancestry.com. We can pinpoint, oh, we come from this person, that person.
Yeah.
But we don't have that documented. So hopefully that's like my next year's project.
Oh, yeah, I wish you all the luck in that.
So the next one is, if you could pick one dish to have for the rest of your life, what would you choose?
Nepali food, and specifically rice. Specifically rice, because I grew up eating rice, and like I enjoy all types of cuisines. Like I'll eat anything.
Yeah.
But when, let's say, like I go out to eat rice, or like I cook bad at home, and then for the rest of the week I'll want it because I've had a taste of it, and then I'll keep wanting it. It's so bad. But yeah, rice. Yeah.
Did you always like dal bhat tarkari when growing up, or has it been something you like enjoyed after growing up?
No, I've definitely, I grew up eating dal bhat masu. Like I remember I would have like dal bhat masu for breakfast, and then I would like
pure Nepali.
Pure Nepali, like before school, and then I would take a bit of that for lunch to school, and then I'd come back home and obviously dal bhat masu. So yeah, I grew up eating that.
Okay. And if you could go back into time, into Nepal's history, is there any particular moment you'd want to go back to?
I would probably say the, you know, when the royal family massacre happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like I was quite young when that happened, but I remember like being really emotional about it when I was in Nepal. But because I was so young, I didn't fully understand everything. But I think I would probably like to go back to that time. Yeah.
I think our generation, like who sort of remember the massacre and were there in Kathmandu when that happened, I think the answer, usually when I ask this question, is that answer. You've heard of it, you weren't sure what happened, and you like have this curiosity, oh, what actually happened? Like, I would like to know.
Exactly. And also recently I found out a few Instagram accounts of the princesses. So obviously they're all older now, and some of them are I would say like between the ages like teen years, and some of them are like 20, around 20s. But yeah, I found the Instagram accounts, and it's just so interesting to look at them and just like figure out their life. And they still post about their like obviously dads who are royals, and obviously they're royals. So yeah.
Interesting. Now, Chimi, before we get into where you are today, I wanted us to dive back into your childhood. How was your childhood like? Tell us about young Chimi.
Oh gosh. I was a very calm child. I was like really, really calm.
Very chill.
Yeah, really chill. Like my mom says that she would put me down and I would just not leave. I would just sit there really quietly. So she says that I was a really, really calm, like quiet child. I definitely was like that throughout my like childhood as well. And overall, I think I had a really like happy childhood, I would say. Like I was very like loved. I was very spoiled because I was the first child.
The perks of being the eldest.
Exactly. You know how it is. And all of my like siblings and like my like Tulbaba's sons and daughters and everyone, they were all like abroad. So I was the only one in Nepal with my granddad and grandma at the time. And I lived with them like throughout. Yeah, so I spent quite a lot of my childhood with them. And I just remember being so spoiled. I was so spoiled.
Was this in Kathmandu, Nepal?
Oh, yeah.
And how long were you there for then?
I was there, so I was born there, and then I went to Hong Kong for a bit, for like 2 years, and then after that I came back to Nepal, and then I think I was there from like year two until year 7 or 8. So quite a long time. I think when I look back on it now, it doesn't sound like quite a long time, but it felt like I spent that like a lifetime there. And then after year 8, say, I left, and I've never lived in Nepal since.
How was it for you transitioning back to like UK after spending formative years in Nepal and then coming to UK?
It was excitement slash a bit of a culture clash for me, because obviously excitement because I was living with like my mom and dad for the first time, like after ages, because obviously my dad being away like all the time. So yeah, that was really nice to be able to like all live together. But I remember my first kind of experience was trying out for the girls' grammar school, because obviously like once you're here, you've got to like sign up for a school. And then my mom and dad were trying to get me into a girls' grammar school, and it was so difficult, like the exam. And I'd prepared like all summer for it. I wasn't the most academic, but then I wasn't like unable to pass the test sort of thing. But then, yeah, I like failed miserably. And I just remember like thinking, wow. So I think because in Nepal, they teach you like A, B, C, D, but then here they teach you, oh, A is for apple, an apple is red, you know, like more, you go more into depth. That really put me off like being here. But then, yeah, so it was kind of like mixed feelings, blah, blah, blah. But I don't remember being like sad about moving here because like I said, like I was with my family and I was quite used to like traveling, and so it was fine.
It's quite common within our like families as well, where the kids are left behind, and then when they come to another country, it's not just adjusting with another country, but adjusting to a different family dynamic as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, what were your interests growing up in school?
Oh, I've always been a creative person. Yeah, I used to love like art, but it was a shame, like there was only art and suddenly something creative. I think Bossy, when I went to college, we had like textiles, and then we had design technology and stuff like that. So I got to explore a bit more. But like even growing up, when I was like really young, I remember like my mom would buy me these like paints and stuff because I used to watch Art Attack. And there used to be a Nepali version of something else as well. Maybe it wasn't Nepali version, but it was like something on Cartoon Network. I can't remember. But like they would show you how to paint and stuff. And I used to be really interested. Oh. And then my mom was like really supportive. So she'd like make me like sit down and paint. So yeah, I've always been really, really like getting creative when I'm not from a young age.
Have your parents always been supportive in terms of you doing like more creative stuff? Because, you know, with our families, they usually just encourage mostly like, you know, academic stuff, being business or science. How was that in your household?
Yeah, so my mom's always been supportive. My mom's been very supportive from the start. She's like, do whatever you want. Yeah. But my dad, he was a little bit like skeptical, but like he wanted me to go to college and he wanted me to study like science and stuff, you know what it's like. So I did try that. I went into college doing like biology, physics, and something else. I can't remember. And then I remember just thinking, this is just stupid, you know, because I couldn't concentrate in class. Everyone else in the class knew so much more than I did. And then I kind of like turned to my Tulbaba, because my dad has like one brother, and whatever Tulba says is like,
goes.
My dad will listen. Yeah. So I turned to my Tulba and I said, do you know what? This is just not for me. Like I can't do this anymore. And no, we were still in the first term. So I was able to like switch my subjects. Yeah, so that was kind of like a turning point for me, because I stopped thinking, or like I stopped trying to achieve things that I couldn't. And I was almost like just heading the right direction. And then, yeah, so once I started that path, I started like gaining proper momentum and like finding out about what type of creativity I'm into and like what my style is and stuff like that. So slowly as it all happened, it kind of like worked out for me. And then my dad just got on board with it. Yeah. So he started accepting it. Yeah. And he almost like saw that, you know, I'm really happy doing what I'm doing. And it's not the end of the world. And he saw that, oh, actually, there are creative jobs out here. And so I don't blame him for saying not. It's not like he wasn't believing in me at first or anything. It's just the way he's been brought up.
Of course. And not knowing that there are opportunities, because they just want the best for you, right? At the end of the day.
Absolutely. Yeah. So later on, now. Now my dad's like, absolutely. Yeah. Happy for me.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
Yeah.
So I know you did your bachelor's in fashion promotion and imaging, Anna.
Yeah.
And how did you get into makeup after that course?
So basically I went to a uni where it was like dual fashion, imaging and promotion. They had loads of like other creative students there as well. So even though it was like just fashion, like some of them were really good at illustration. Some of them were really good at marketing. Some of them were really good at like styling, photography. Everyone was doing different things. So basically we all used to be like put into groups, and then we'd all do like projects or whatnot. So we'd work on like photo shoots and stuff. Yeah. And they'd always need makeup artists. And I was always like posting my makeup looks on social media, because that was the time when Instagram was kind of blowing up. And I just wanted to like not even like put out there, but I just thought, oh, this is what I enjoy doing, so I'm going to put it on Instagram. So all of my friends sort of like jump on it, and then they would ask me like, oh, do you want to do a, you know, makeup for my look? Do you want to do Monday? So basically I was just doing like all these like on Sunny free work basically.
But getting exposure at the same time, hey?
Yes, almost. I mean, it wasn't like the greatest exposure, but exposure in terms of like on Sunny, I would work with someone and then they'd recommend me to someone else.
Yeah.
And that's how like I was like connecting with like loads of different like artists. So yeah, it was good in a way.
Yeah. And at what point did you realize or did you feel like you could take makeup as a full-time job?
That was definitely after. So basically I left uni and then I went into a fashion, like fashion related job. So I wasn't very happy in that job. I was still in this like fashion bubble and I really enjoy fashion and I really enjoyed it back then. So I thought, oh, I'm just going to work for a fashion company. It's going to be great. So I actually went into like working for a PR like team. And it was only when I left that brand, the company, I kind of like got to thinking and I was thinking, wait, like I'm getting like requests. It wasn't even like a lot of requests, but there was just a few requests from just Didi Aru just to do their like wedding makeups. Yeah. And I almost just thought, do you know what? I actually really enjoy doing this. So that's how the ball rolled, Manumna.
Wow.
Yeah. Honestly, it wasn't even my brilliant big idea. It just happened to me.
When I was trying to do research for this interview, I saw you were posting YouTube videos of makeup like 8-9 years ago.
Yes.
And that was just you doing your thing because you enjoyed it. You were doing like these freebies at uni and sharing your work. And it just makes sense that we'll recognize your talent and we're like, hey, like, you know, do my makeup.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of like regret not continuing my YouTube because I see back then, like I was so into it. Like you said, like I honestly just did it because I just enjoyed it. I regret not continuing it. But I think everything happens for a reason in life. So,
of course. And as a makeup artist now, how has lockdown impacted your business?
So because Corona kind of like stopped me from working since last year, March.
Like the first lockdown, I know.
Yeah. So the first lockdown happened and then I was, you know, getting all these like bookings that were saying they're going to need to cancel because most of my bookings are receptions. So wedding reception. And obviously, you know, wedding receptions, Nepali, they're a lot of people, like a lot of guests. Yeah. So they couldn't have their weddings. So I started like getting all these cancellations, all these like rescheduling and stuff like that. So I just stopped my services. And obviously, according to the government, like, I couldn't work anyways. So everything stopped. And then since then, everything's kind of been very, very slow. It's really, really been like not a good year for business last year.
Of course.
Fortunately for me, I've had lots of clients who have rescheduled instead of like canceling, which is obviously a good thing for me.
Yeah. I know your business hasn't been easy with all the lockdowns. I've been super, super impressed at how you've pivoted through last year. What gave you the idea or how did you come up with diving more into your Instagram page?
So I've actually been trying to work on my Instagram for a really long time. So I've tried different things and I was kind of at a point where I was thinking maybe Instagram isn't for me. Maybe I almost even thought maybe I'm a bit too old for Instagram. Honestly, like I'm not even one of those people who thinks, oh, my age is affecting something, but I really got to that stage where I was thinking that. I kind of lost hope on Instagram, but then I have a lot of friends on there who were still commenting on my posts or whatnot. So I just thought, I'm just gonna carry on anyways, my makeup posts. And then obviously after lockdown happened, I had loads of time left. And I was actually in quarantine with my mom and dad back at home. Basically I really had nothing else to do. So I was just like creating all these like different makeup looks. And then I was posting on Instagram And I think because a lot of people were at home and there were all these like makeup artists, content creators on Instagram who were sort of like really boosting each other. Mm. I think I got in there at the right time. So it was all about like timing, because I feel like, not to sound big headed, but like, I don't think that I was lacking in creativity or like my talent. I think it was just not the right time for me.
The opportunity as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like everything in hand, and then it just happened for me. And then I have a little sister who's Gen Z.
Mm.
So she was like, Chimmy, you have to get on TikTok. So I thought, you know what? I'll try TikTok. And then I tried TikTok and I was making videos, and then I realized how easy it is to make videos on there. Oh, so I was just like putting them on my Instagram. Yeah, so everything just worked out really well for me. And then it just like went really smooth after that. So yeah, that's how it actually happened during first lockdown.
Wow. And then you've just continued throughout the year, and your Instagram page, I remember it was from like 5,000 to like 15 now.
Honestly, I'm shocked. I didn't even think that was going to be possible, because I've struggled, like I said, I've struggled so much.
Mm. Now, all your beautiful makeup creations on your Instagram page, how long does it take you to come up with an idea or just even execute the whole makeup look? Do you plan it beforehand? Oh, this day I'm going to do this. Do you have it all planned? Or do you just wake up like, ooh, this will be a good idea? How do you go about planning your content on Instagram and actually executing that?
Yeah, it's a little bit a mix of both, just because I like to follow trends. Mm. So what's popular. So I like to kind of like see what's happening that day. So yeah. I'll go over on TikTok, see if the big, you know, the big makeup artists and the content creators, what they're doing. I don't know if they're using like a certain sound, if they're using like a certain, like today, this morning, someone posted like a 60s makeup look. And then it was like right at the top of TikTok. And I thought, actually, I have a 60s makeup that I just haven't posted. Oh. And then I posted it and it just like, boom. So you have to be a little bit tactical with it. Mm-hmm. But then that's not me all the time, because it's really hard to keep up. And obviously I have a life. So most of the time I kind of just wing it. Yeah. So one morning and I'll think, oh, I feel like doing makeup, and then I'll do it. Some days I'll think, nah, I don't want to do makeup, so I won't do it. So I'm not too, I don't pressurize myself too much. Mm. But then, like, let's say Valentine's Day just happened. So I know that everyone's going to be really, like, on it, like, posting makeup looks. So basically, I planned 2 weeks ahead.
Mm.
And I said, right, I'm going to do these makeup looks. I'm going to do 6 looks. And it's going to be a brown, pink, whatever. And then I'll start looking on Pinterest. I'll start looking for ideas. And then I'll leave like maybe like 2 or 3 designs till the last minute, so that I can see what else someone is doing. If something's really, really like trending, then I'll try and like latch onto that. So it really depends. It's a mix of both, really.
Yeah. So it's not just about doing the makeup. It's actually researching and trying to get on with what's happening so you can get the right momentum as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because like what we see as an audience is just like your videos and your content, right? Like you don't know what goes behind it. So for me, it's so interesting to even like understand your process.
Mm.
How long does it take to come up with the video?
So coming up with a video is not, like you said, the research part takes a while. So sometimes I'll literally be scrolling through Pinterest and TikTok and Instagram for the whole morning, let's say. Like I'll spend like a good 4 hours, 5 hours on it. Yeah, so research part is the longest.
Yeah.
But then I think when it actually comes to like filming, so like I'll have to set up, I'll have to make sure the lighting's correct. I'll have to make sure that, you know, I'm wearing the correct like outfit or whatever. Mm-hmm. And actually, I don't even film my neck down. So it's quite easy for me. So I'll put like a t-shirt on, let's say, or sometimes I'll try and match it a little bit. But then after that, it's the hair. So you've got to do your hair. I mean, you don't have to do your hair, but I find that if I do my hair nicely, then the video gets a bit more of a reaction. So, and then once you've done your makeup look, so like I do like half of my face.
Yeah.
So once I've done half of my face, so that's already taken 1 hour probably to do that face. Mm. And then to film the other half, it just takes a little bit longer, like maybe like 1.5 hours or 2 hours, just because you have to make sure that you're filming, You have to make sure the lighting is correct.
Yeah.
So yeah, it takes a while.
It is a full-time job, isn't it? Like making sure you do this day by day and keeping in touch with the trends, keep making sure that you've got all the materials ready and engaging with your audience.
Absolutely. It really does. And to think that it's all for just like a 15-second video, it's crazy. It's crazy. But at the same time, like I have so much respect for people who do like big productions and even like YouTubers. I have so much respect for them because they're producing a full on, like on Sunny, at least 10 minutes, one no amount of content. And that takes a lot of editing and, you know, post-production. So yeah, it is a full-time job.
So Chimi, what's next for you, given that you're doing a lot of content creation on Instagram now, being noticed by big time artists as well? And then you've got your makeup artist job, maybe once the lockdown opens up. How are you planning to balance both sides in the future?
Yeah, so I'm going through a transition at the moment. I'm not 100% sure myself, but basically in the next sort of few weeks, I'm hoping to roll out my makeup classes, so online.
Oh, right.
Because things are really uncertain at the moment. I'm thinking going virtual is my best bet because I know that a lot of my clients are interested in learning about makeup, or like maybe I'm thinking even my bridal clients, instead of me having to go to them, maybe they could have like a makeup session with me before their wedding so that I could teach them how to do it.
Yeah.
I could, you know, give them advice on what products to get, give them advice and everything. So I've got a few ideas planned for that. So that's my sort of like safety net. But hopefully things go back to normal and then hopefully I can get back to doing like weddings again.
Yeah.
In that case, I think I'll have to really like be really careful of planning my time, because I still want to focus on content creating because it's opened up a lot of doors for me. And I've been building a lot of like relationships with brands, and not even just brands, but like other content creators.
So cool.
Yeah. Do you know what? Like, it's a lot of hard work, but the reward is amazing. So I obviously don't want to lose that. So it's going to be, it's going to be a little bit difficult to juggle, but I think I'll be able to do it. But obviously I'll just have to spread myself out thinly.
By seeing how you've pivoted last year, Chimi, I'm pretty sure, you know, you'll be able to juggle both and do it really well.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so like happy to hear that you have like faith in me.
I've wanted to approach you before, but then I've seen all the stuff you're doing and I'm like, let me not interrupt, because I was just so excited seeing all your looks on Instagram and your growth. And I'm like, oh my God, I just want to see where like Chimi goes. And like knowing that, you know, you're trying to do a lot of different things, it just gets me excited. So happy for you.
That's so nice of you. Thank you so much. That's really, really nice of you.
Now, Chimi, I think you also had blogs before, like on products and stuff ages ago, right?
Yeah.
So from those blogs to the YouTube videos to starting your makeup artist business, now going on to content creation and the uncertainty of what COVID is, what does success mean to you now?
Oh, gosh, success. That's a big word. I think as long as I'm doing what makes me happy, I think I'm going to be happy with that, because I've been able to do a job where it doesn't feel like a job.
And that's so rare.
It's very rare. Yeah, absolutely. It's really rare. Like not a lot of people get to say that. So I'm really, really appreciative of that. And the fact that I can actually say that I do a job that I actually love doing. I think success would probably be, you know, me being able to carry on doing what I love doing. And like I said, like when my job doesn't feel like I'm doing a job, like I'm going to a job or something, I think that's what, success is to me.
I think a lot of times when you think about success, you try to overcomplicate things, but it can be just something as simple as being happy what you're doing.
Absolutely, yeah.
And even with job, you said it doesn't feel like a job. Some people might think, oh, she's probably not working hard, but that's not what it is. Like you're still working hard because it's a job at the end of the day, right? But you don't mind working hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So excited to see what's next for you, Chimi. I will be following you and your journey and just cheering for you from the sidelines.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I'm excited as well to see what's next for me.
Now, Chimi, to wrap things up, if there's any advice you can give someone who is a bit lost, or especially during these times, you know, when times are so uncertain, what would your advice be?
Oh, that's difficult. Honestly, I think, oh gosh, I have to have a think about this one. Well, clearly, obviously, just do what makes you happy. That's just a given. But I would say, if you're feeling lost, then I think sometimes it's okay to feel lost, because I think there's a lot of pressure on having to always have your life be perfect, or like always to know where you're going, or like always, yeah, to have like a job where it's paying, or, you know, have a house or have a car, be an adult. So I think there's a lot of pressure growing up. It doesn't matter what age you are, there's always a lot of pressure. So I think if you are lost, then that's fine. Just let yourself be, I think. Just don't put too much pressure on yourself. I think it's okay not to have things figured out. Just ride with the time. Just do what you love doing. If something's not making you happy, I say just leave, because like I've been, like I can give an example. I've been in retail jobs before where I've not been happy, but then I just stayed because it was paying the bills or something. Yeah. But then you get stuck in this loop of just telling yourself, you know, this is the reason. Just stay. So I think if you just like sort of like detach yourself from what makes you unhappy, be it a job, be it toxic people, be it whatever, I think if you just like do what makes you happy and do what is good for you, I think you'll sort of like naturally come out of that rut of like feeling lost. Yeah, but I think definitely don't put too much pressure on yourself is probably what I would suggest.
Yeah, and I guess with media as well, you see all the different people like really being productive and really making it in their lives. But it's so important to understand that's just a glimpse into their lives. We don't know what they're going through. They might be feeling lost as well, and they're probably just pretending. You just never know, right?
Honestly, like Instagram is the worst place, because you look through all these like people, and obviously everyone's just posting their best life, aren't they? They're not going to post themselves crying, because I mean, do whatever you want to do on Instagram. If someone posts their picture, their video of them crying, then you know that's their choice. But doesn't matter what you do on Instagram, like someone will have something to say about it anyways. But people that for that reason, they'll choose to put their best life out there. But then there are people out there who will look at these pictures and videos, you know, of these amazing times, and they'll think, you know, I wish my life was like that. I wish my partner was like that. I wish, you know, I could go on these expensive holidays. But obviously, you know, that person could have just been able to afford that one holiday because they saved for their life from their lifetime. So, exactly. Yeah, Yeah, you do end up like comparing yourself to these people on Instagram. But yeah, it's not a good idea.
And Chimi, how do you take care of yourself? Because like majority of your career or your job is on Instagram or social media, right? And like doing all the research day in, day out, how do you take care of yourself and your mental health to just give yourself a little refresh and not get too sucked into it?
I mean, like I said, like I'm such a calm person. Yeah, self-care is very natural to me, and I do it on the regular. I mean, I'm a very busy person, but then I'll still like make sure that I take like the evening to just like unwind, just have no phone. And a lot of times I actually take a lot of pleasure, let's say, in like talking to my sisters on the phone. Yeah. So like I'll just call them up, yeah, and we'll just have like a nice chat, and we're all very like supportive of each other. So we'll just like, you know, just hype each other up or whatever, and then we'll just get really happy.
That's what sisters are for.
Yeah, so a lot of that. But obviously, like, because I'm into like makeup and skincare and stuff, just even work, like doing makeup and just sitting there and just zoning out on doing makeup is very therapeutic to me. So actually, I don't really need to have a time off from doing what I love doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like I think I'm just chill most of the time. It's such a weird thing to say out loud.
I love it though. I guess when you're doing your makeup or doing skincare, it's almost meditative for you, right? So like you don't really need to take a break from it because it's actually helping you become more chill.
It actually is.
That's amazing.
It really is. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Chimmy. I really enjoyed talking to you and just learning about your journey and all the hard work that goes behind all the things we see on Instagram, on TikTok. As I said earlier, I'm really cheering for you on the sideline and I can't wait to see what this year or what the future holds for you next.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And it was really nice to talk to you as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, we do.
As always, if you enjoy these conversations as much as I do, please share with your friends and family. If you'd like to share your feedback, you can reach us on Instagram at hamro.yatra or email askhamroyatra@gmail.com. I love hearing from you, so keep them coming.